Hello, my beautiful people. So I want to forewarn. Oh, hold up, I'm about to sneeze. Maybe not, maybe so. Who knows? I want to forewarn that my upstairs neighbors are being stupid loud tonight. I have no clue what's going on with them. The way I really want to just like punch my fist through this ceiling is unreal. But because we don't want a bloody hand or a restraining order right now, we're just gonna keep on moving. So let's start off with a quick little update. I might sound like my energy levels are a little low because truthfully they kind of are. I have been very stressed. I'm going to Arkansas in a little less than a month and I have absolutely nothing ready for that trip. I have a budding career. I have a buzzing lifestyle. I have what many would consider the perfect life. And that perfect life is fucking exhausting, which is something that I will talk about today. However, the update that I have started this whole sentence for, our Fashionpreneur experience is officially this coming week. So, you're going to be listening to this on Tuesday and the Fashionpreneur experience is going to start Thursday. So, I will have just completed this comes out at midnight on Tuesday morning. So, that being said, I will be getting up 6 hours after this releases, not even six, 5 hours after this releases to get out of my door by six with my hat, cap, and hair and everything ready, running out the door with probably extra boob tape and the will to live. I will run down to CVS, I will be grabbing my Red Bull, and I will be running to the flower district to grab flowers to create a bouquet for some incoming people we have for the Fashionpreneur experience. They land Tuesday night. So I wanna make sure that we have everything prepared for them. And then Wednesday, I will be prepping everything to ensure that everything goes off without a hitch over at a regular exposure while we're focused over at the Fashionpreneur Academy to make sure this event goes off without a hitch. And then last but not least, we have the experience. On Thursday, we're gonna be in Fashionpreneur hoodies, walking around downtown LA, having the time of our life. And then we have our Friday, which is a simulation, and then it's gonna be a whole mixer, and then hopefully I can convince my boss to go and get a drink, which probably won't take too much convincing, but neither here nor there, we will have survived our final Fashionpreneur Academy event for the year, and we will be Fashionpreneur Academy free for the most part. I'll be officially over at IE and really not touching the Fashionpreneur Academy anymore, and Jess will still be over at TFA, obviously, but I really won't have any part of it. That's kind of exciting, a little sad, but mostly exciting. It's kind of been a big stressor for us, and we're really excited to not really have to worry about it anymore. So, by the time you're listening to this podcast, I will be probably crying. I probably have cried at least once. I've already cried today as I'm recording it. It is Wednesday? I keep thinking it's Tuesday and then I thought it was Thursday, and so we've just been thinking it's all over the week. But neither here nor there. It is Wednesday before this releases, and I have realized a lot of things today. One, I haven't cried in a really long time. I didn't realize that I hadn't cried in a really long time until I started crying. And it just seemed like there was a lot of pent-up emotion and that it wasn't just about what I was crying about. That was just like the final straw and while I was crying. And yes, I know I name drop him frequently on here, but Kai Neal, I swear to God, is a trooper. Because I was getting my car oil changed. Yes, the thing that I mentioned to you guys, I'm pretty sure in my last couple of podcasts that I need to do. I just got it done. So yeah, my mom was really afraid my engine was going to blow up. And after she said that, so was I. So I finally got that done today. And I had called him literally hours before it was done. And I was like, hey, do you think you could go pick it up? And he was like, I don't know, maybe. I'm kind of busy at work, but I will try. I will let you know. Then he got caught up at work and didn't have his phone, wasn't able to text me and tell me he couldn't do it. So then I got really pissed because I thought that him not texting me was saying that he could do it whenever it was really he couldn't do it. So it was just like a little thing, you know? It was a whole little thing. And I got pissed and I started screaming and I started crying. And, you know, it's just like you realize that you're crying about that, but that isn't the only reason you're crying. you've been dealing with a lot the past few weeks, and that was just the final straw. Because I had actually, I know this might sound a little mentally ill, however, I had made it a point to stop crying so much. I felt like I cried all the damn time, and I was like, I don't want to be a big crybaby. Like, that's not what I want my brand to be about. The brand of Josephine, I don't want people to be like, oh my god, she's always fucking crying. Like, no, the brand of Josephine is fun and exciting. She's always doing new shit. Like, I don't want it to be me crying all the time. So, that being said, I was really trying to not cry so much. I was trying to cry less frequently, and I was so overwhelmed with emotions today that him not being able to pick my car up probably wouldn't have bothered me any other day of the week. His lack of communication would have pissed me off, but it wouldn't have been anything crazy. It would have just been like, Kai, come on. But in all fairness, after I got done screaming at him, he had a very valid reason to why he couldn't pick up his phone. So it's like, I couldn't even be mad. But it was just like inconvenient, and it pissed me off, because I needed everything this next couple of weeks to be convenient for me to not feel overstimulated or overwhelmed. So yeah, that happened today. And I cried for a minute. I cried, on the way to pick up my car. I had a couple tears drop, not on purpose, but it did happen, while I was on the phone with my mom. And then I got in my car and I called my cousin and I started sobbing. She said, are you okay? And I started sobbing, crying. I was just mad. I was mad at everything. I wasn't mad at him. I was just mad at the situation, at my overwhelmingness, why I felt so overwhelmed. And I've had some like really shitty news recently. Nothing's confirmed. I don't like to self-diagnose myself typically. I self-diagnose myself with certain things whenever it comes to like my mental stuff. I'm just like, yeah, that's definitely happening to me. But whenever it comes to like actual physical problems, I try not to self-diagnose, because I know it's just going to cause me stress. However, there's some things you just can't avoid. And you realize you can't avoid them. But let's start with the anxiety. My anxiety has only gotten worse. But we do think that there might be some underlying health issues that have caused my anxiety to get worse. We don't think it's just my anxiety. Although I am a very stressed out person. My mom and I have been talking, and I'm like, but mom, my body, like, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I can't sleep anymore. I sleep maybe 3 to 5 hours a night, and whenever I sleep good, I sleep for solidly 10 to 12, and there's some days I can't get enough sleep, and there's some days I can't sleep at all. So that typically comes down to hormones. Unfortunately, my mother, God love her, has had an insanely ridiculous time with her hormones. She has a lot of thyroid issues, and it's expected to come down to me, as it typically does, go directly to the next descendant, I guess you could say. So thyroid issues are pretty predictable for me, especially since I have other issues in that genre. So yeah, and then there is another issue that I do believe I may have. It's a little bit more personal, so I really don't want to get into it, but it is a little detrimental. I actually just got off the phone with Kai, and I was asking him a few questions about like his take on, you know, just everything. And he was obviously very supportive and was just like, you know, I'm here. If, you know, I'm here. Let's get some more answers. Let's get to the bottom of this and we'll figure it out. And I was like, cool, solid. Yeah, that's great. So it's nice to know that even, like, you know how you know there's some people that are going to be there for you no matter what? It's really, really nice to know by hearing that they're going to be there for you. And so that's kind of what I want to get into today. I want to get into love languages, actually. I've talked about love languages a little bit before. I'm a big love language person. However, I felt there needed to be a podcast directly correlating to love languages. I am super big on, you know, love people by their love language. That's how they accept love. That's how they appreciate love. It's the only way to truthfully understand your partner and ensure that you're actually connecting with them in the way that they feel most connected to. So I really try, like, I really advocate for loving with people's love language, and the communication aspect of love languages. So that being said, honestly, I'm double checking that I haven't talked about this before because it feels familiar, but there's also a very good chance that I recorded a podcast similar to this and deleted it because I did that quite frequently. I absolutely despise my voice sometimes, so I just kind of, it looks like I have not, I have not made a podcast about love languages, so here we go. First of all, I want to talk about the beauty of loving people with their love language. So whenever I say love language, it typically is referring to the six, sometimes it's considered seven love languages that people have. These love languages are how they best accept love. It's also how they best give love, because they want to give love how they would best accept love. For me, for example, my love language is words of affirmation, and it leans into a good 50-50 split of like physical affection and quality time. I am more of a quality time person than I am a physical affection person. Like, I just want to be near you and have good time. I could be on the phone, FaceTime with you, it really doesn't matter to me. But my biggest thing is words of affirmation. I have to hear that you care about me, that you want me in your life, that you appreciate me, that you love me. I have to hear those things. Or I start to overthink, I start to kind of overstimulate myself and panic and be like, oh my God, they don't love me anymore, they got too quiet. And it's actually a really, it's a hurdle that Kai and I have, which if he ever listens to this podcast, he's gonna be like, Josephine, you talk about me too damn much. But it's a real hurdle that him and I have, because he's an omnivert. So an omnivert is someone who is extrovert and introvert. They have the ability to, in a sense, come out of their shell and go back in. And it really, like, it just fluctuates depending on their mood, depending on their focus level, stuff like that. So Kai gets in his introvert periods. And in his introvert periods, he is less affectionate. He is not really wanting to be around people. He wants to be in his own bubble a little bit more. And last but not least, he really doesn't say much. He's more of a listener, more of an observer at that time. He really just isn't down to be talking. And then in his extrovert periods, that's where he gets his like spurts of energy, and I get like random hugs and kisses all the time. That's whenever I get the long drawn out lovey speeches. It's those moments that I get more of a lovey-dovey kineal, I should say. And it's not because he loves me any less in his introvert, but purely because he is able to express it easier in his extrovert. So this is something I've really had to learn, as I am someone who is typically an extrovert. The only introvert part about me is I don't like going out of my house that frequently. I like to be inside, and I kind of like to be by myself. I like to live by myself. I like to be in my own space. But other than that, I am pretty introvert or extrovert. I have a hard time understanding his introvert qualities. So whenever he gets quiet, I think he's upset. And it's not that he's upset. It is that he is introvert right now. And that's okay. I have joked that he needs a shirt that we can flip inside out, or like one of those little octopi things that are on TikTok everywhere, that you flip it inside out and it's mad or it's happy. I'm like, we need to have one that's like happy but two different colors, so I know if you're in your introvert happy or your extrovert happy. And that will be helpful for me. And he was like, honestly, these are my telltale signs, but I will do a better job of making sure I communicate with you no matter what mood I'm in. And I'm like, so appreciated, because again, my biggest kicker and my love language is words of affirmation, and my biggest pet peeve is the lack of communication in a relationship. So I do feel like your love languages and your pet peeves start to really kind of communicate with each other and feed off of each other, and I'll get into that as well. But let's hop into his love language. His love language is actions, and he mentions that all the time. Like, his is acts of service. So these stupid cars. Oh my God. Anyways, his is acts of service. So he appreciates whenever I go on a hike with him, or I am down to run a stupid little errand with him, or I, bring him lunch, or I come and take care of him whenever he's not feeling well. Moments like that, that is his that is what he feels. Whenever I go and I reach out for his hand, whenever we're in a crowded area and I just like show that, hey, I'm here, you know, whatever, or, you know, I bring him, I don't know. It's those moments where it's like you put effort into making sure they're comfortable. And that's how I kind of think of it. Because I am not a acts of service person. You could literally sit on the couch and not fucking do anything and just tell me that you love me and I'm a happy camper. Like, I really don't care that much. I'm pretty easy to please. I do like gifts every now and then, but I'm totally kidding. I'm not a gift person either. But I say all that to say that Kai is an actions person, and I can tell this because he will tell me whenever I'm like, I just need you to tell me more frequently, like, I just need to hear that you care about me or hear that you want me around. And he's like, well, I mean, my actions show that. I'm like, yes, I do see it in your actions, however, that's not how I best understand love. So I would really appreciate it if you would communicate with me those feelings that you're having. Whenever you show them in actions, it really does help me understand the feeling better if you do actually tell me what you're feeling. And he's like, okay, cool, yeah, I'll do better. And we actually just had a conversation about that. I was like, I understand that you accept love best in actions, and I totally understand that. So I do my best to show up for you and to do things for you. And like, he really sees love by people showing up for support, in a sense. So I will always be there to support him. But I, again, expect and accept love best in words. And so although our love languages can really work hand in hand, if you have the love language of words of affirmation, then you're going to show your love with words of affirmation out of first nature. And it's purely because you are accepting love that way, so you feel the need to give love that way. So whenever I give love by saying, I'm proud of you, you look great today, I appreciate you, thank you so much, you're such a doll. Those things like that, those little praises, and loving, kind, caring words, those are moments that I feel like I am showing love to someone. And if their love language is not words of affirmation, they aren't accepting that love as high of a standard as I accept that love. So that's whenever you start learning your partner. Kai was the same way, and he still is learning, because communication, as I said, with him being an introvert and extrovert, he has kind of an issue with communication in general. Plus, he's a guy. Guys don't communicate well. I hate to break it to you, it doesn't matter. I've worked with many, 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 many men. I've dated quite a few men. None of them communicate well. Not a single one. I take that back. One communicated well, but only when he didn't have anything to do. It was definitely like lulls in his life whenever he just like didn't have as much going on that he communicated really well. Other than that, I'd go hours without hearing from him. And it's just because guys are guys. They're not as good at communicating. That being said, he is understanding that that is a weak point of his. And that's something that we have also learned in our relationship, is that we have to communicate with each other to know where we have weak points and if it's a deal breaker, if we can work on it, and if it is easily fixed or if it's going to take time. Those four little questions are very beneficial to know how the longevity of the relationship is going to work. So if, you know, I look at him and I'm like, listen, I need the words of affirmation. I need it this frequently, not necessarily giving him a time, but just telling him, like, I need it semi-frequently. Like, I need to hear that you care about me, that you appreciate me, that you want me in your life. I need that. And he'll be like, okay, cool. And I'll be like, this is a deal breaker for me. I have to feel that love that way. If not, you're going to deal with tantrums for me consistently. Like, I'm not a tantrum person, but you're definitely going to have to deal with tantrums for me. He's like, okay, cool. And then we talk about how in the world we're going to manipulate this to work best for us and what the expectations are with that. And it's the same with his. And although he has very, very low standards for me for the most part, like, in all fairness, as long as, like, I look pretty and I keep myself up and I show that I care about him and I show up for him, he's a happy camper. Like, he's a happy camper. And I, not to make him sound superficial, but, like, I mean, I like myself better in lashes. I like myself better whenever I look and feel a certain way, and my confidence will exude. And so all he really wants to see is me confident and comfortable. And so him seeing me confident and comfortable is what's attractive about me. And so at that point, he is more attracted to me because I'm confident and comfortable. So all that to say that love languages are a give and take, and it's not that you're giving up a portion of your love language. It's understanding that although someone may not accept your love, how you accept love, you're able to communicate about how to accept love better. Because at the end of the day, as everybody says, relationships are really a give and take. And even if I'm not giving up the idea of him telling me that he appreciates me and that he wants me in his life, I'm not giving that up. And we had a fight about it today of like, I need to hear those words. Like, I need to hear that you want me right now. And he was like, of course, Josephine, I want you in my life. And I'm like, that is literally all I needed to fucking hear. If you would have told me that 2 days ago, this wouldn't even be a conversation. Because there's only so much reassurance I can give myself. Not to mention, if you're in a relationship with people that have, you know, Kai and I have broken up a few times. So it's not necessarily hard for me to trust him. I would trust that man would come running if I was in trouble. However, I do have a hard time letting my guard down and really opening up my heart completely to him because I have been hurt in the past. And that's just human nature. But that's where you really start to see the love language pop in, because I need a little bit more reassurance from him until he's in a position to commit and I'm in a position to commit. Right now, I'm not in a position to commit to him and he's not in a position to commit to me, and we've talked about that. But the communication was open, clear, and understood from get. There has never been a point where I've been on the page of like, oh my God, we're boyfriend and girlfriend, and he's over here like, nah, pump the brakes. I need a minute. I'm not set yet. You know what I mean? But let's hop into all love languages and how that can be understood, accepted, stuff like that. Let me pull up my list so I don't miss any. Because we've already talked about, what did we talk about? We talked about words of affirmation. That's the biggie, because that's mine. So even at work, this, and I want to also preface that love languages aren't just a part of your romantic relationships. This is a part of all relationships, friendships, and work relationships, all alike. Like, my boss is fully aware that my love language is words of affirmation, and I'm fully aware that her love language is gifts. So in turn, whenever I want to show my appreciation for her, I'm like, hey, let's go out and get a drink on me, or hey, let's, like, I have this for you, or hey, I brought this in for you, or you know, she told me what she wanted for her birthday the other day, and obviously I'm gonna get her that plus something. But it's those kind of things. And I've also noticed that typically for her to show her appreciation for me, it's gifts, whether it be a couple hours off of work, or it be while staying clocked in, or whether it be a Starbucks on her, or, you know, she gave me a bracelet for my birthday, like that kind of stuff. She shows her love that way while also understanding that my most accepted love is words of affirmation. So she tells me when I do a good job. She tells me when she's proud of me. She tells me thank you all the time. She tells me that she appreciates me. Those kind of things do mean a lot. And that's in my work environment. I even had an issue with my last work environment where I didn't feel appreciated. I didn't feel cared for. And I told one of my managers that I was very close with, and I was like, hey, turns out I have a really hard time because I don't feel like, you know, I'm appreciated and valued here. And they were like, oh, well, what's your love language? I'm like, my love language is words of affirmation. And they're like, okay, cool. Well, I'll keep that in mind and ensuring that, like, we really are fulfilling the way that you feel love and appreciation. I want to make sure that I fulfill that. And it really did help. Like, me and that girl are still great friends. And, like, me and a majority of the staff are still great friends. Because once you have that conversation and that connection, you understand how people accept love best. And you're able to really bond and really, like, accept each other for what you are. So let's hop into the love languages. First of all, it always says words of affirmation first. I feel like this is a common love language because you hear the I love yous all the time. And I feel like this kind of stems from high school romances, stuff like that. You talk. It's a lot of talk. You really can't do anything but talk, to be honest. You're broke. You live with your parents. Like, there's not an opportunity to really do anything outside of talk. Mine is words of affirmation. My ex-boyfriend in Arkansas, I believe his was gifts. I might be wrong, though. He really liked quality time, too, though. He was a big quality time person. He just liked to be around you, or around me, I guess I should say. But words of affirmation is a big one. I feel that does, again, stem. It's the easiest one, almost. I feel it's very big in women because we have a tendency to trust, you know, words before actions. We have a tendency to hold on to promises, things like that. I do think that's very popular with women. Acts of service. This is your actions, I feel. You know, as Kai says, actions speak louder than words, and he calls me Miss Pouty because, fun fact, I didn't realize it until he started calling me out on it. I pout whenever I get upset, and it's not that I'm actually upset, it's just I think that's what I did whenever I was younger and I wanted to get my way. I would just kind of sit there and get like sad, and I knew I would get my way, and so now it's just like I do a little huff and he's like, okay, Miss Pouty. And it's a funny little thing that we have, but I don't know where I was going with that. Actions speak louder than words. So that's how he knows I'm upset, is because I literally puff and he's like, okay, Miss Pouty. And I'm like, what? I'm not pouting. And like, truthfully, I might not even be that upset. I'm just like, oh, now I gotta figure this out. And so it's actions. And Kai is a very actions person. And this is the moments where it's like, you know, showing up, to something that's important to them. It's helping them set up something. It's helping them move, helping them set up a TV, helping, like, and it's not that they aren't involved. It's that you're helping them with something a majority of the time. It's also making sure that they're not involved sometimes. Like, you know, mowing the grass, for a lot of men, that's an act of service that, you know, they do for their wife. And that's a great thing because the wife doesn't have to go out and do it. Or, you know, maybe it's planting their flowers or something of that sort. Like, doing the dishes. Kai used to do the dishes. I hated the dishes. And one of the ways that he would make me feel so loved was literally him doing the dishes. And that was a way that he showed his love to me. And whenever I did the dishes, he would get upset because he's like, no, you don't like doing the dishes. I'll do the dishes. And so it was a great little thing we had set up. However, that was something that he really enjoyed taking off of my plate because I hated doing it. He also made it a point while I was in school to make sure that the house stayed clean and the house stayed organized, that laundry kept up, so that way I always had something to wear. He's big on acts of service. That's how he showed his love. And I remember us getting in a really big fight because he was like, I was getting on to him about something. I don't remember what it was, but I was so upset about something. And we were living together, and he's like, Josephine, I've literally been keeping this house up. I've been keeping laundry up. I've been doing everything I can while you're focused on school. And then we got in this massive fight. And I was like, what? I didn't even notice. And he goes, yeah, you don't notice. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I did not realize that I was accidentally throwing away a portion of your love. Like, that is not what I meant to do. And so, and like really understanding that, I understood that that was his way of showing that he cared and that he supported me, but I didn't even notice because that's not a way that I normally accept love. Receiving gifts. I'm not a gift person. I hate receiving gifts. Love giving gifts. I'm the first person to offer to buy somebody food. However, I am not a receiving gift kind of person. I feel like I'm in your debt. It does not feel comfortable for me. I do not like it. Unless it's my birthday. Shower me with gifts on my birthday, because, I mean, like, you're supposed to get gifts then. But any other time, you lost me. I do not like gifts. Like, just out of the blue, unless it's, you know, some flowers or something, not my cup of tea. Not my cup of tea. And then the next one, quality time. This is one that I kind of touched on earlier. That's my second love language, is quality time. I enjoy being on the phone with people. I used to not. I go into my moments where I don't want to be on the phone with anybody. I'll go like a month without calling anybody. But I do enjoy being on FaceTime with people that I care about. Like, for example, Kai, him and I were literally on FaceTime for like 3 hours the other night because he wanted to talk about his tires. I swear to God, asleep half the time. However, he got to talk about his tires, so he felt very loved and comforted, and I was asleep. So he got some quality time, I got some quality time. Although it ended up in both of us falling asleep on the phone, we still got that opportunity to like talk to each other and enjoy each other's company, even if it was over the phone. Mind you, we are literally blocks away from each other, but sometimes we really want to be in our own space but still want to spend some time together. I almost require a FaceTime from him. Are we technically in a relationship? No. But I call him every night, or he calls me every night. One of us does FaceTime the other one every single night. That does happen. Because I swear to God, I better get a FaceTime from you. I want to know that you care about me and that you haven't forgotten about me. You know? It's really not hard. It truthfully is not hard. So quality time can be in many different ways. It can be, you know, just sitting next to each other in silence. It can be via FaceTime. It can be doing a craft together. It can be on a hike. It can be a car ride. It can literally be anything. But that anything can be very beneficial to your relationship, as long as it's something that both of y'all enjoy doing and you're doing it together. And that's majority what quality time is. And physical touch. I didn't think I was a physical touch person. I'm still not every now and then. There's some days I want to be touched and there's some days I don't. I really can't explain the science behind it. I don't know if there is any science behind it. However, I do know that I have a really hard time with physical touch sometimes, especially whenever I'm frustrated. Kai's second love language is physical touch. So we kind of almost touch all five of the love languages, because mine is words of affirmation and quality time, and his is acts of service and physical touch. And both of us do enjoy gifts. However, we don't really enjoy receiving them. We rather give them. So that being said, we run into a small predicament, because we have to literally love each other in all ways. And that's not, I say predicament, and it's not really a predicament. However, it's something that you have to consciously think about. You have to consciously think of, oh, well, I need to, like, it's not consciously, like, checking off the checklist of, like, oh, I need to make sure I kiss her and that I do this and that I do that. No. Like, I was telling Kai earlier, I'm like, hearing that you appreciate me and that you care about me and that you love me are important things for me to feel the love that you have for me. Just like whenever you kiss me on the forehead or you just let me be in your energy and in your space, that means a lot to me because it shows that you care about me. It shows that you love me. It shows that you enjoy me being around. That is very important to me. And he had even mentioned in the whole quality time aspect, he was like, Josephine, I need you to understand that you do spend, like, we do spend a lot of time together. Like, we're not in a serious relationship at the moment. However, we do spend a lot of time together. We are both very, very busy people, and we will still be in the same room working on computers together, or we'll be on the phone for an hour or so together. Like, we are together very frequently. And I was like, yes, I know. And he's like, so please take that into consideration whenever you feel like there's moments where you need to reassure yourself of how much time or how much I care about you or whatever it is. I literally will spend 8+ hours with you on the weekend. And that's in one day. Like, I do spend a lot of time with you. And I was like, that's very valid. And I didn't think about that. And he's like, yeah, I know. But that's the beautiful thing about a partner that's understanding that you're working on yourself, they're working on themselves. And I feel like it's more common in, like, younger relationships, like, you're figuring shit out. But you have the ability to kind of sit there and talk to each other and be like, so this is what I learned about myself today. And they're like, oh, I'm really glad you learned about that, because that's actually been a pain point for me that I wanted to bring up. And luckily, Kai and I have gotten a lot better with healthy communication, which is the last topic I want to talk about here, because healthy communication is necessary for all love languages to be successful. So without a healthy communication, like, Kai and I have communication about our love language. We talk about our pain points on what we're having issues with. We talk about, you know, time restraints, like financial restraints, whatever it may be. Like, it's hard to live in LA right now. Kai and I are both, like, low-key struggling a little bit. And it's not struggling in a way of, like, we can't make our bills. It's struggling in a way of we can't afford the luxuries that we wish we could. And he even said today something about, like, you know, honestly, I need to get myself in a financial situation where I can take care of you how I want to take care of you. And that meant a lot to me. Those words alone meant the fucking world to me, because that meant he was thinking about our future, that he was caring, and that he was really putting effort into me, and that he wasn't trying to sit here and use me and not, I don't want to say use, because that's such a terrible word. However, he isn't, we're on the struggle bus, and he isn't using me as a passenger on the struggle bus and just going to kick me off whenever things get good. He wants to live and grow with me, and that's what's important to me. At the end of the day, I want you to communicate with me that you want to grow with me, because I want to grow with you. It's similar to, like, even friends and family. Like, if I have a friend in my life that I don't really want to grow with, then I don't consider them a friend. They're an acquaintance. My best friend, she has some great business ideas that I absolutely love, and I can't wait to grow those with her. I also can't wait to see her grow in her relationship. I can't wait to see how our friendship grows. Those situations are so beneficial for communication and understanding the growth plan. My boss and I actually sat down the other day, and we created a growth plan for me, at a regular exposure. This was a great thing for us to do. And low-key, I want to just pull it in to my, like, at this point, Kai and I need to have, like, quarterly relationship chats. Because this chat was so beneficial for me, because I was able to lay out my plan for what I want to do at a regular exposure and when I expect to be there. And so I was able to tell her, this is how I want to grow. This is how I want to move. This is where I want to go. That position we were talking about a month ago, I don't know if that really suits me and my goals at this time. I would really think I would thrive much more in a position like this. And so us redeveloping and understanding that we're in a creative industry and that we're able to do these things is so beneficial and so helpful. So the growth plan was discussed. We communicated that, and I was able to express my thoughts, opinions, and really everything about that. That way I could best help her as well as best help myself in ensuring that I can grow to those opportunities. So communication, like, truthfully, just fucking talk about it, man. Anyways, I don't want to get on like a TED talk about fucking talking to each other, because truthfully, it's not all about that. However, I have really enjoyed this TED Talk. Manifestation. I've really enjoyed this podcast. I've had so much fun with this one. I really do think that, like, love languages are such a benefit to understand as a person in a relationship, even if it's with yourself. I cannot push this enough, and I'm pretty sure I pushed this in my single bucket list podcast. Loving yourself with your love language is so beneficial. I have a tendency to, I reassure myself whenever I'm feeling down, or whenever I'm feeling like I have imposter syndrome, or whenever I'm like feeling like I'm not going to be able to reach a goal, I reassure myself. I give myself those manifestations. I really push myself with my words, because that is what's going to help me most. That is what's going to benefit me most. And I'm fully aware of this. I love myself with my love language, and I've never regretted that. Quality time. Sometimes Josephine needs time with Josephine. That's usually when you'll find Josephine by the pool with a book by herself. Or that's usually whenever you'll find Josephine with her phone on Do Not Disturb and don't fucking talk to me. That's usually when you'll find Josephine shopping and she didn't ask nobody to go with her. Or that's when you'll find me at a bar, like at the Italian restaurant behind my house, drinking two glasses of wine and walking tipsy home after eating a pasta that I absolutely love and having a Caesar salad. Like, that is a night of a lifetime for me. I'm obsessed. So, all that being said, learn to love yourself with your own love language. Learn to love others with their love language, not yours. It's not about you, it's about them. And last but not least, use your love language in all aspects of your life while communicating what you need from each relationship. All of my good relationships that have lasted, whether that be romantic, friendships, jobs, whatever, have all been because I properly communicated how I feel most appreciation. If I don't communicate how I feel appreciation, then at that point I will no longer feel appreciated and I will want to leave. Because that is what we do as humans. When we no longer feel valued, we find someone that does value us. And that's why corporate has a hard time keeping Gen Z. But that's a whole different podcast. Anyways, I love you all. I hope you have a great day, night, week, whatever this may be. And I will see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.